Did Lanny bring that out?
No, Lanny didn't bring that out.
He was probably gentle there. What's that? Yeah, right. Yeah, that'd be natural for him. Lanny's in our class too, I think, so he's having a good time with the logic stuff. Find a lot of things he can apply to holding that too. Okay, I'd like to first of all today go over the exercises that we had. So if you want to take out your answers to the exercises and make sure your name's on them, I'm going to collect them after we're done. But go ahead and correct them yourself. Correct them with a different color of pen or pencil and we see what the corrections were. But I do want you to write the corrections there so you've got the right information for future study. So be sure you do have the right answers on that one. Now, Part A, there's five statements here. Which of the following statements are true? Number one, David was of the tribe of Judah, or David is of the tribe of Ephraim. Okay, what I'd like you to do here, and the best way to do this, you can tell right away from reading that whether it's true or not, but pick a symbol, pick a letter to represent each statement. And, of course, a different letter for each different statement. It doesn't matter what you use. I just happen to use J or E here. Either David is of the tribe of Judah or the David is of the tribe of Ephraim. And the choice of the letters there is purely arbitrary. You could have used X or Y. You could have used A or B. I don't care what you use, as long as you use two different letters. If you use, don't use J or J, because that would be the same statement, you see. Or don't use D or D, because if you use D for David, David is of the tribe of Judah is a different statement than David was of the tribe of Judah. And in logic, they're two different statements. So you want to make sure you use two different letters here. I don't care what letters you use.
But it would be confusing if you used two letters, like DJ, David of Judah, DE, David of Ephraim.
Well, if you did, it would probably be best to use subscript type of notation, because if you use two capital letters side by side, it's possible that you might get it confused with something.
It might be better. A compound statement or something.
Yeah. It could be that you might have seen, later on, look at that and wonder now, should there be a symbol between these two that I left out or something? It could cause some confusion. If you did it consistently in things and knew what you were doing, you could probably do it. It won't make any difference in the logic of the thing. The only difference it could make is just in making some mistakes later on if you had a more complex argument, not knowing what you've written. By convention, they usually just pick one symbol to represent that and pick a different symbol. So, but you could go David sub J or David sub D. You could do something like that. That probably wouldn't get you into too much trouble, but it'd be better if you just stuck with one single letter, a completely separate letter, because when you get a whole mass of things, it's harder for your eye to pick up subscripts than it is to pick up a different letter like this. It would make it a lot easier on your eyes and less chance for error. Okay, so we've got J or E. Now we need to know the truth values of each of those statements to configure the truth value of the total statement. So the first part, statement J, which is David was of the tribe of Judah, is that a true or false statement? What's your truth value of that? Okay, true. Okay, should know David's from the tribe of Judah. Okay? And if you didn't know that, you'd have to look it up someplace. Okay, that was part of the thing. David was of the tribe of Ephraim, therefore he's going to be false. He's only going to be in one tribe, and he wasn't of the tribe of Ephraim. Okay, now our total statement, J or E, is then going to be what? True. Yeah, the disjunction is true of either part. Either part is true. So the total statement, David is of the tribe of Judah or David is of the tribe of Ephraim, is a true statement. Even the last part is false. The statement is, he's one or the other, and he was one of those. He was the first one. So this total statement is true. Okay, statement number two. Not Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin, or not Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. Okay, again, you could pick any symbols that you'd like. I happen to pick a P here for Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin, and a J for Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. I don't care really what symbols you use, as long as you use two different symbols. Now, I told you that to make sure that, well, I guess in this case it wouldn't matter, You've got not P then, P representing Paul's of the tribe of Benjamin, or not J, J representing Joshua's of the tribe of Ephraim. Okay, now we have to look at the P and the J and assign the truth value of those individual things before we can figure out the truth value of the total thing. So the truth value of the statement Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin is what?
True.
Okay. And so we'll have a 1 under that. The truth value of the statement Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim is what?
True.
Okay. Now we have to apply the curl on both of these. So what we've got is it's not the case that Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. And so the truth value of that statement will be 0, and this one will be 0 also. In other words, the negation negates the value of the statement. So now I've got a disjunction between two, let's see here. Okay. Just want to make sure my notation's right. Okay, I've got a disjunction between two false statements. And what's that going to be total? Okay, everybody follow how to do that. So first of all, the procedure is just, first of all, find out what the truth value of the individual statements is, and then apply all your operators in the proper sequence to figure out the truth value of the total statement. Okay, number 3. Maybe somebody would like to come up and do this on the board for me, would you? Is anybody bold enough to do that yet? Number 3. Yeah, go ahead then.
Just put your symbolic, you know, and just...
Oh, well, just give us... Just go ahead and start working and we'll tell you.
Okay.
Find out what the truth value of the individual statements is, and then apply all your operators in the proper sequence to figure out the truth value of the total statement. Okay, number 3. Maybe somebody would like to come up and do this on the board for me, won't you? Is anybody bold enough to do that yet? Number 3. Yeah, go ahead.
Just put your symbolic, you know, and just...
Oh, well, just give us... Go ahead and start working and we'll tell you.
Okay.
So you use the J. Now, again, your letters are going to vary here, depending on which one you chose. But she used a J to represent the statement Aaron was of the tribe of Judah. She used an E to represent the statement Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. And a B to represent David was of the tribe of Benjamin. Then you fill in the truth value into the statements. So the first one, Aaron was of the tribe of Judah, is false. He's of the tribe of Levi. And the second statement, Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim, that's true. David was of the tribe of Benjamin, that's false. Okay, now, of course, you're going to start to apply things, the operators in the parentheses first. So, a true statement conjoined with a false statement makes the total statement within the parentheses here false. That's all that's been done here, and it's bringing down the value here. Now you have a not applied to the whole statement, that makes it true. Negating the false statement within the parentheses makes it true. Then you have a disjunction between a true and a false statement, which ends up being true.
Yeah. So in order to make that a true statement,
right, the whole statement is true. See, this is saying it's not the case that both this and this are true. And as it turns out, that is the case. It is the case that it's not the case. In other words, this whole thing here is a true statement because what was in it is a false statement. In other words, when you negate a false statement, you end up with a true statement.
But the only thing that's really changed by the negation would be B being changed into a true statement in word for it.
Well, not really. The negation is really changing the whole statement. It doesn't change just a part of it. The effect is that, in a way. But, you see, because if we wanted to make what was in the parentheses a true statement, we would have to make this into a true statement to make what is the parentheses true. But we're not really doing that with this negative operator. We would if I took this not and put it on B alone.
Then I'd be doing what you're suggesting.
But this not is really applying to the whole statement. And so first I've got to compute the truth value of the statement itself and then apply the operator on that whole statement. So it's got to be done in the right sequence. Because in this case it may not make too much difference, but in some cases it can make a lot of difference in the order in which you apply the operator. Anyone with a question on that? Number four. Let's try that one. It's a little bit more complex. Go ahead. Just put what you put down for symbolic language and just do the same thing that you did basically. Okay, anyone have any comment or observation on that? Greg?
On the first part there, she should have done the negation to curl operator on the P before she did the conjunction.
Yeah, that's the only problem.
The
answer is still right. The total answer is right, but there was a mistake in here. Right in here, you see, you have truth for this. This curl operates not on the, if the parentheses was here, then you'd operate on the whole thing.
Right.
But the curl should be applied before you do the disjunction. So the only thing you'd have here is you make this, put a zero there, you see, and operate and apply that. We'll bring this down, and you're still going to end up with a zero here for this operator. And let's see, we're rearranged. Yeah, and then you should bring that zero down. And when you conjoin that, you still get a zero. If you're joining these, you still get a zero. You still negate the whole thing. You still get a one. Okay.
The same as also true in the second part.
Did you do it there too? I was
wondering.
Okay, yeah, same thing. So let me just, I'll just do this all. You can see how, you can see though, that even with a mistake in the logic someplace, you can come up with the right conclusion. And so that's why, but it won't always work that way. You supply some different truth values to this, you might. It might make a real difference in the order in which you do those. Okay, so let's just do this again. We'll just put the initial truth values in. And now we'll apply the operators in sequence, the proper sequence. First, we'll apply the not to this. We'll get 0 there, 0 over here. Apply the not to this. We'll get 1 there and 0 over here. Then we'll apply the disjunctive operators. In this case, we'll get a 1. In this case, we'll get a 0. And now we're going to apply our not over here. So that's going to make this a 0. We'll bring our 0 down over here. So now we've got a conjunction between two total terms that are both false, which is false. And then outside the parentheses over here, we have a not applied to everything in the brackets, which is represented by this symbol, which is true. Okay? So the statement's true. All right. But that's what these exercises are for. If we make little mistakes like that, that's how they get them clarified. And that's one of the ones that's going to be very easy to do. So, but you want to make sure you apply the thing, the look for those curls and get those things applied before you apply to major operators, because they're going to apply only in that smallest term. We're really trying to get the operator that applies to the smallest term do first, and then work your way out. See, this operator applies in the largest term, applies the full works. This one applies to everything in here, so we want to get everything in here taken care of first. This one applies to these two statements, two sides, so we want to get this one. And this one only applies to this side, so we get this one first, then we get this one, then we get this one, and down the line. Good. Number five, let's try that. Go ahead, Ron. Everybody got this? Go ahead, since you'd probably be hard to stick another letter in there. Yeah, as long as it's a different symbol, you know, total, that's all right. Maybe I may change the symbolism afterwards just to help everybody else if they're confused. Go ahead and go to chat. Okay, good. Yeah, everything's okay here. If you chose to, he used a subscript on some of these. If you chose to use a different letter, you know, I guess with mine I had A here, I had D here with no subscript, then I put a P here and a J here, and then over here I just used some new letters. I used a B for that, and an L, and an A and a T. But you can, you know, the point is that you are consistent. You know, as long as he's got a D sub E here and a D sub L there, those are, as long as you recognize that those are two separate statements, they're not the same statement, that's all right. But you might be better off just to come up, even if it's a letter that isn't even a letter that's the first letter of any word in the sentence, just to come up with a completely different letter for it. And you might avoid some possible, you know, confusion and put your eyes, it can be easier for your eyes to follow. Okay. Any other questions, though, on this? Any problems with that? Again, we just proceed. Just first with the truth values, then you take care of the things in the parentheses here. You've got a conjunction here, you've got a conjunction there, you've got a conjunction there, and a disjunction there. And now, since this is all in parentheses, you have no curls applying to anything except this whole bracket, we can figure out this whole bracket. You've got a false statement on this side, a true statement on this side, conjoined, so it makes it false. And over here, you've got a false statement on this side, a false statement. Disjunction, that's still false. Now you apply your curls on both sides of these terms before you apply this operator. If this curl applies to this thing, this curl applies to this thing, and the operator applies to both of those terms. So that makes this statement true and this statement true, since they were a negation of false statements, and then the total statement is true. Okay. Now the other exercise had to do with translating into symbolic logic these statements. And this is where we're getting right to the core of things as far as preparing to actually analyze arguments. The first one, if the Spirit dwells in you, then you will be raised from the dead. So what you needed to do is pick an appropriate symbol to represent each of these statements, each proposition, and then represent the relationships by the various symbols that we've used. How would that come out? Somebody, you can just tell me what you have. Somebody has a, wants to volunteer.
It's S and R.
Huh?
It's S and R.
Okay, and how would you put that in symbols?
No.
In other words, it'll be S, Horseshoe R.
Yeah.
S, Horseshoe R. Or you could pick different symbols here, as long as you got two different letters here. And S represents if the Spirit dwells in you, and R represents then you'll be raised from the dead. So if then is translated into a horseshoe symbol. So it's symbolic logic, that's the statement. Okay? Number two, if a man both repents and is baptized, then he will be saved.
Okay, somebody want to describe that one? Yeah,
I've got, in parenthesis, R and B, horseshoe S.
Good, okay, so
you've got R dot B, horseshoe S.
Good, that's right. What we have then is, if a man both repents and is baptized, that means you've got a compound statement there, you've got a conjunction. A man repents and a man is baptized. So there's two statements there. So R represents a man repents and B represents a man is baptized. And the statement is, if both of these things are true, then he'll be saved. So we have a horseshoe symbol here, if this, then this, and this happens to be a compound statement itself. So we put it in parentheses and it's a conjunction. Now, you could have used different letters there. Those would be probably the most logical ones to use, but it doesn't matter. As long as you've got three different letters there. The first letter represents his repenting, the second letter represents being baptized, and then both of those conditions hold, then he's raised from the dead, or what would be saved. Okay. Anyone else? Question or problem on that one? If you missed it and you don't know why, go ahead and ask. You know, because you don't want to be belaboring some misconceptions and be, because it's going to get worse if you don't get taken care of now. Okay. Number three, it is not the case that a man both repents and is not saved. Okay. Who wants to try that one? Maybe I'll have to just write these on the board in symbolic logic, because it's easier to do that when we're really trying to use simple. So why don't you just come on up and write down what you have for the rest of the evening.
Go ahead.
Okay, good. It's not the case in the statement. The R represents the statement that a man repents, and S represents the statement that he's saved. And it is not the case that a man both repents and is not saved. So the both and, that's symbolized by the conjunction here. We've got a negation on the whole thing. It's not the case, negation, that a man repents and is not saved. So we put the not in front of the word saved, in front of the statement saved, yes.
Because that's equivalent to if R, then S, or R horseshoe S, however you want to call that.
Well,
would you answer that on the test, or would it be expedient to shorten that for?
Well, this could be R horseshoe S too. I would think that for the purpose of our purpose right now, that would be another step you would make. This would be the actual translation of the statement from the English language into symbolic logic right here, not this, even though they're equivalent. But what you would do in a normal logic proof is, you would translate it this way, that should be your first step. Then step number two might be, if it were appropriate in the way you were trying to prove the thing with the other premises, to substitute R horseshoe S for this, because it's an equivalent expression. But that would be coming something that would come later. So I would rather have you just translate it the way it is, and then work with it from there. Once you see it, then having translated it, you would see a pattern. Then you say, aha, that's equivalent to R horseshoe S. That may be the key to solving a complex problem, if you see this, to notice something like that. But as far as the translation goes, just translating an argument, best to keep it this way. Now, if you went ahead and did that, that's fine. But from now on, just translate it the way it is, and then having translated it, then, in other words, we don't want to make any steps, mental steps that we don't write down. Because the reason for that is that when you're going back to check if you made a mistake or something, If you've got every step written down, you'll be able to find out where you made a mistake. But if you do some things just in your head and write it down, if you made a mistake somewhere along the line, it'd be awful hard to trace. And you'll see that when we go through step-by-step proofs of this type of this nature, we want everything written down. And it may seem a little bit laborious, but it is really important when you're trying to check something. And it's important for me when I check your work to know that you are making the right steps, you know. So you want to put everything written down. So that would be the normal thing. And if you started out with an argument with that as a premise, then it might be appropriate to put that into R horseshoe S. Although you might find some cases where R horseshoe S might be more appropriate to translate it into this form because of some other terms that are involved and some other reducing you can do there. We'll get into the techniques of that a little bit later on.
Aren't they always equivalent, though? Couldn't there be some cases where it would not necessarily be the reverse?
Well, logically, they're equivalent. Logically, they're equivalent. The truth tables are identical. There are some cases, however, in which cause and effect relationships might be involved in things where that, if you're looking at it from the standpoint of a scientist who's trying to do something and produce a certain result, it may not be quite the same thing, may not be quite the same statement, even though logically it's going to come out the same. He may be interested in something else other than the logic that's involved, and in that case there might be some ambiguity. That's why they call it material implication. Because the horseshoe symbol, because the horseshoe symbol is not implying anything about cause and effect relationship. It's only guaranteeing that if a certain statement is true, then the other statement is true, for whatever reason, as far as any causal connections are involved. And so there might be a difference if you get into the idea of cause, but it wouldn't be a logical difference. The logic is going to come out identical. The truth tables are identical. That's the thing that's defining these relationships and these symbols is really the truth table. And since they're identical truth table-wise, they're going to be the same. So we can substitute them in any logical expression. And it'll work even for a scientific argument. We can substitute these things scientifically. Even if there is a cause and effect relationship, the logic of the thing is still going to be preserved. And you'll see that as we work some more complex problems. All right? Number four is next. If you both repent and believe, then you will both be, then you will be both saved and kept. Somebody want to try that on the board? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, good. R horseshoe B, or R dot B, horseshoe S dot K. If you both repent and believe, if both of these conditions hold, then two other conditions will follow. And so you've just got a compound in both sides of your horseshoe symbol. You've got a compound antecedent and a compound consequence. That's really what it involves. So this is the right way to symbolize that. And of course, the actual letters you use might vary. Those would probably be the most natural ones. Any questions on that? So if you both, you've got to do two things, and then two things will be the result. If you both repent and believe, then you'll be both saved and kept.
If you saw that without the parentheses, would you still know that the last operator would be the horseshoe and that the...
If you saw this whole thing without... You're going to have some potential confusion here, because you could construe this as meaning... What it really is, or you could even construe it as something like this, and that could be a confusion because that wouldn't be the same statement at all, and this would be awkward anyway. Actually, if you saw something like this, the most natural way to punctuate it, you'd say, well, they must have meant this, you know, because they wouldn't write two dots or a series of three dots like that, so that would probably be the safest guess, but that's why it really is important to put the parentheses in. They are very, very vital as far as you're translating arguments because they'll tell you the order of which you apply the operators. And really, in the language, you see, we're getting some meaning out of our language, and our language is telling us the order in which to apply the operators, and that's how we put the parentheses when we do. Sometimes language is a bit ambiguous, though, and sometimes because of the language, your punctuation is going to vary, and there's nothing, not a whole lot you can do about that except... If you're talking to somebody who's giving an argument, you can ask him to clarify how he wants that punctuated, as it were. Force him to clarify what he's saying. If it's a
scriptural argument, then usually you'll have to check other parallel passages or something like that to really nail it down. Number five. Either I believe or I don't receive. And if I believe, I will be saved. Okay, who wants to try that? Captain Bob. Was just taking the only thing I'm wondering about is this term here. If you just had this term and then conjoined that with this term, that's all we really need. Okay. See, the statement says either I believe or I don't receive, and if I believe, then I will be saved. So really, we only have this statement: either I believe or I don't receive. Dot. And if I believe, then I will be saved.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Believe or don't receive, in that first parenthesis, says
yeah.
That's an inclusive disjunction, correct?
Yes. I see what you're getting at. You're trying to...
But this makes it exclusive. Either I believe or I don't receive. So I thought that the exclusive form of the discussion was necessary there.
Okay. I see what your point is. Okay. I guess I'll have to agree with you there. If you're going to make it as this is the place where we get into some interpretive differences there, as far as am I saying either I believe or I don't receive or both, or am I saying either I believe or I don't receive but not both? And what you're saying is not both here, and not both is either I do this or this but not both, and that's the way you've interpreted it. And I'll grant you that, because that's a possible interpretation of it. So if you did it this way, I'm going to have to give you I won't give you any extra credit, but you see, this is where we run into the problem. Now, normally in logic, we define that operator as the inclusive idea, but either or both. But and we have a way of writing the exclusive, and that's really what he's done here, because he's interpreted it that way. Okay. And really, you know, theologically, you probably want more of an exclusive.
That's why I did it.
Okay. Okay. So that's good. Anybody else do it that way?
Could that be done a different way? Could you put curl, B, horseshoe, and then whatever letter you can use, R, let's say. And then and B, horseshoe, S.
Yeah, in other words, you reverse these terms.
Right.
Yeah, that would be all right, because in the disjunction it doesn't really matter what order they came in. Yeah, that would be all right. Yeah, but it would probably be better, let's see, if you're meaning, if you say curl B, by that statement curl B, do you mean I don't receive?
No, I guess it's reversing the language, which you mentioned.
Okay.
If you don't believe, then horseshoe, you won't receive.
I see, yeah.
But I guess
it actually says either I believe or I don't receive.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same as saying if you don't believe, you won't receive. Isn't it?
If you don't, or no, it's not quite the same as saying that. It's just saying, it's really just making a simple statement, either this or this. We might read some more implications into it, but really for translation purposes, it'd be best just to stick with the statement the way it is. In fact, that'd be a good thing to adopt. You know, just try to translate it as directly as possible with simple use, without manipulating things as little as possible in the first statement, and then you can begin to apply things that you'll see to reduce this down and to, see how those terms apply and see other statements that can be derived from it.
Yeah.
So if we see this in the future, this either or, it'd be best to translate that as well, without the second part.
Right. Yeah. Unless there's an, you know, see, it's in when you're formulating an argument, you're going to, because of the ambiguity in the English language of the word or, if you want to make sure that the exclusive sense is what you want, then you will say, but not both, or something like this. When a person's arguing, people that are using logic one against another are all familiar with this ambiguity, and so they will make a statement. You assume, unless something is stated, that it's the inclusive sense. You assume it's the one that you're going to use for the operator. And if something more is stated to make that the case, then you'd have to apply that. But it is true that in a theological argument or in a scriptural passage, you may have to exercise some judgment as to whether it's the inclusive or the exclusive sense. And then that judgment that you've exercised in that is going to determine how you write this out.
Okay, number six, for instance, where it says the man will either become like God or like Satan, mm-hmm. that almost necessarily must be exclusive, wouldn't it?
Right, it wouldn't necessarily be exclusive in this case, because you might become like both in different senses. You know, in fact, most human beings are getting part of it. You know, they're yielding to the devil sometimes, they're yielding to God sometimes, and this kind of thing. So,
and again, in number six, it would be best not to.
Yeah, it would be best not to, you know. If I said man will either become like God or like Satan, but not both, that's the way I would have said it if I want you to get the exclusive sense. Okay, that's just by convention. And admittedly, you would have no way of knowing that now in this assignment, so I'm not going to consider what you did wrong there. In fact, I think it's, you know, observing something and thinking a little bit more deeply. I appreciate the fact that you did that. But in logic, from now on, when that kind of statement is intended, when an exclusive or is intended, it'll be stated some way. All right.
Would that be in modern logic then? If like God or like Satan,
mm-hmm.
or both, or neither both, how would that be?
Or and but not both,
yeah,
but not both. Okay. Well, first of all, you could have G or S, either like God or like Satan. That would be your first term, and not G dot S. See? So you're making a conjunction of this whole thing. That's the same basic thing that he did here. See? And so what you're saying is either G or S is true, and it's not the case that both G or S are true. In other words, G or S, but not both. And that's the way that you would symbolize it. You may form another conjunction and put a not G and S.
That would be the exclusive.
Yeah, this would be the exclusive or. That's the way it would be done. So, but I would probably word it that way. And it's good to talk about this, because there are times when you're going to have to make a value judgment as to whether the or. Normally in English, we use the inclusive or, but there may be times when it's really intended to be exclusive. Because of that ambiguity, you're going to have to make a judgment on that. In logic, though, if I give you a test, for example, and we'll just make it a straightforward policy. If I give you a test, and if I don't make a statement like that, but not both, I'm always going to make an exclusive sense of or very obvious, and then state it plainly. And if not, then you just assume it's an exclusive or. Okay. All right. So how would number six look then, according to what's been written there? Man will either become like God or Satan, and he will either live or die. Go ahead. L or D. Man will either become like God or Satan, and will either live or die. All right?
The problem with that from a linguistic viewpoint to me is that the either still, to my mind, means one or the other.
Yes.
Especially with
yes.
language, because you can't live and die. You're going to live or die.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be really fully
yeah.
like God or Satan
yeah.
at the same time. You're going to
yeah.
be like one or the other. So that linguistically, mm-hmm. I can see it logically,
right.
but linguistically,
yeah.
it makes it difficult.
Linguistically, actually, in this sentence, I would actually prefer putting the not both, the exclusive sense of or. You know, in something like this where there isn't any other option. You know, either you live or you die. There's not anything in between. You do have a good point there. so actually you're more technically correct in terms of translating the language. And it's just a poor example on my part, because what I wasn't really trying to get you to see, to try to wrangle all those other operators out. But
so if you did that, the best way to put this would be this. That's your first term. And then L or D dot not L and D. That's really the best way to translate this statement. Yes.
The inclusive form of the disjunction
mm-hmm.
can include exclusive ideas, right?
I mean, yeah, it does.
Doesn't it actually say it in logic. It yeah. can't be exclusive, or it can rather, it can convey an exclusive idea. For instance, living or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not going to do both, but still, you can express that.
Yeah, it's still. See, it's still going to come out all right as far as that is going to. It's going to be one or the other or both. You see, it's just not going to be both. It's just not going to be both. It just will never occur that way. So, you see, stating this, you're still going to be all right in most of your logical manipulations with a statement like this, unless it's very, very important and critical that both not occur. And you have to state that both not occur. Usually, in this case like this, it's obvious that both won't occur. See, because of that, that combination of truth values will never occur in reality, and you never even need to consider that case, because the logic skill will still work out. Good point. It really would not be necessary to add. Now, there might be some situations, though, in which it would be necessary to add to catch that one part of the values of the truth tables and eliminate that from your discussion. But in most cases, you know, you're not going to ever have a real case where that would be the case, and therefore, it's still the inclusive sense still suffice for any kind of real logical situation you're going to develop, because the other sets of truth values would never occur. So you need to worry about it. But in order to include the whole thing and be as accurate as we possibly can with our language, we do have ways of getting that idea across, and we might as well use them. Okay, I hope nobody's completely confused by that, but there are some subtleties, you see, that was the purpose of me giving this assignment, is to help you see what kinds of problems you do run into when you translate from the language into symbolic logic. Once you get to the symbolic logic, you'll find things are simple from here on out. Once we get the symbols down, it's going to be easy. It's just going to be mechanics. But the translation is where sometimes we find problems, and this is a good illustration of it. Okay, anyone else with a comment or question? Somebody had a hand up. All right, let's look at the number 7. If you pay me now, then if you die, I'll pay someone else. Okay, how would that be translated into symbolic logic? Somebody. Go ahead and jump up. Let's see. Bob's had a chance. Let's try someone.
Huh?
Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit too simple. That would be a part of the argument form, but that's not the specific form of it. Okay. If you pay me now, then if you die, I'll pay someone else. Yeah, go ahead. See, what you said was right, but there's a little bit more to it. The second statement, the consequent, is more complex. Okay. Actually, still, we don't have a conjunction there. You've got P and D. I assume if you pay me now and if you die is the way you're getting it, then I'll pay someone else. That would probably work under some circumstances, but it says there is another conditional there. It said, if you pay me now, then if you die. That's a slightly different wording, and so you'd probably translate that differently.
That's the way I interpret it. I don't know.
Because
the first two were conditions for the last to come true. I'll pay someone else. Then I'm going to pay someone
else. Yeah, that's true. But what we need to avoid interpreting, you know, the implications of things, and just look at the logic, just look at the statement itself. In other words, I'll show you the way that I would prefer you to put this down. It may turn out that if you ran the truth tables on both of these, you'd come up with a very similar statement anyway. But P horseshoe D horseshoe E. In other words, if you pay me now, then the whole statement is, if you die, I'll pay someone else. So this would be probably the preferable way. Now, it would be curious to run an analysis on these two, because it may be that the truth table. For instance,
from the surface, it looks like they might be.
Can then be used as a conjunction?
Sometimes it can, but in an if-then clause like that. And you want to watch for your if-then. See, we have if you pay me now, then, and there's your natural horseshoe symbol. And then, if you die, I'll pay someone else. You see, and then in the second one, you didn't even have a then, but it's like then. Yeah.
I tripped over that on section B number one.
Mm-hmm. So you did the same thing there?
Okay. The conditions both have to be true for it.
Okay, now you mean number one, if the spirit dwells in you, then
yeah.
You raise from the dead?
I misunderstood.
Okay.
And I thought it could be.
No, don't think of a conjunction here, because the conjunction would be if the spirit dwells in you and you will be raised from the dead. Or a conjunction would be the spirit dwells in you and you will be raised from the dead. It would just be that statement. This is an if-then statement, so you've got a conditional that's implied. So watch for your if-then statement. It might be the case in some situations where the word then would possibly be interpreted as a situation where you might have conjunction, but be careful with that. If then, if you've got a situation where there's an if then, where something is, another statement is predicated on the truth of a statement coming before it, then you want to translate with a horseshoe symbol.
Mm-hmm. I have both those possibilities. I just want to get this clear. The first one,
this one,
is wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it this way. Although I would like to run a truth table analysis to see that this might turn out to be the same expression as this. I mean, it might be equivalent. I don't want to say that categorically, but in fact, we might even do that for an exercise. Check them and compare them, see if they're the same. Maybe we'll do that and discover whether they're the same or not. But if you were translating simply from the statement itself, if you pay me now, then if you die, I'll pay someone else. You have if you pay me now as the antecedent to the consequence, then if you die, I'll pay someone else. And now we look at that, everything past the then there, that total. And so we've got P, horseshoe, whatever that last statement is. And then the last statement is, if you die, I'll pay someone else. That's also a conditional. Okay? So just for fun, why don't we do that right now? Let's compare these two truth tables and see if they're the same. Might or might not be, we'll have to find out. Maybe in some cases and not in other cases. So how would we do this? Let's first of all use the same case. I guess we do have the same symbols here. Let's use P, Q, and R. And we'll compare the statement P dot Q, horseshoe R, with the statement P, horseshoe, Q dot, or Q, horseshoe R. Now in order to do this, we've got three variables here. So we're going to have a little bit more complex truth table than maybe we've seen so far. But we're getting into this very same thing today, so might as well do it now. And since this is quite fresh in your mind, it might serve as a better example than the other. Now, I'll give you the general rule in a little bit on how you figure out how to set up a truth table for this. But in this case, we've got three variables, P, Q, and R. And what we'll do here in general is this. We're going to need eight variables here. As it turns out, the number of rows you need is 2 to the n, where n is the number of variables. And so in this case, I've got three variables. 2 to the third power is what? 2 times 2 times 2 is what?
8.
Right. So I'm going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What I'll do in the first one, I'll just alternate 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0. The second one, I'll just double alternate 2 1 1 0 0 1 1 0 0, and then the third one 1 1 1 1 0 0 0 0. This is just mechanical. It's just trying to decide how you're going to get all the possible combinations of truth values with three different variables now. Okay, so what we want to do is compare these two expressions and see if we come up with the same truth table. Okay, let's work on the first one first. P dot Q, horseshoe R. Well, first of all, let's put down P dot Q, find out what that is, and then put the horseshoe symbol, that one R. Okay, P dot Q. P is true and Q is true. P dot Q is going to be what? True. Again, the same thing. True. P is true, but Q is false. That's going to be 0. P is true, Q is false. That's going to be 0. This is going to be 0. This is going to be 0. It's going to be 0, and this is going to be 0. So something's false in all of them. I better put lines here so you don't mix up in the columns.
Okay, I'm running out of room here, I see. P dot Q, now that I've got this term, I'm going to make that horseshoe R, find out what this is. So, I compare this term with this term as far as the horseshoe relationship, if P then Q, and in this case, P dot Q is the first term. So P dot Q horseshoe R is going to be true in this case, this is true, this is true. It's going to be what in this case? Remember, this is your first term. This is horseshoe this.
Mike, I
Okay, because you're always going by multiples of two. You're always going by powers of two. So in this case, it's 1010, just alternate. Now I'm going to put two ones first, and then it's going to be four, and the next one would be eight. You see, you're always going to go by powers of two. All right?
That's common no matter what you do.
Right. This is just pure mechanics, and it has something. It has to do with the mathematical laws as far as getting what it's a science called permutations and combinations, which involves how you figure out what are the total number of possible combinations that exist. And we'll see that 2 to the n. See, if I had 16 variables, then the total number of rows I would have is 2 to the 16th power, which is a big number. You see, this can get very unwieldy before too long. This is about as far as you'd want to go. Fortunately, we've got other ways of doing more complex arguments that will save us all this trouble. Men have a way of finding the easiest way of doing something. And so instead of doing all of this, we're going to find an easier way real quick.
Can you explain that? I don't understand what we're trying to do right now.
Okay. What we're trying to do here is find out if this expression and this expression are the same logically. Now, the only way they can be the same logically is to have the exact same truth table value. And so what we're trying to do is figure what this expression is going to be like in this truth table column, and then we'll figure what that expression is going to be like, and then we'll compare them, and if we find that they've got ones and zeros in the exact same places, it means that they're logically the same. They're logically the same expression.
I'm going
to give it that. I'm not going to. We'll find out. We'll find out. If it turns out to be the same, then I'm going to have to give you credit for it.
I don't understand this step now. The P dot Q, Q to R. I don't know.
Do you understand this step?
Yes.
Okay. All we did there is we just went through P and Q columns and conjoined them with the appropriate truth values. The same thing we've been doing all along. We're just applying the dot operator on these truth values. If this is true and this is true, then the dot is true. Now, what I'm doing is applying the horseshoe operator on this expression and in this expression. Now, I've got the truth table already figured out for this expression, and here's my truth table for this expression. And so what I'm going to do is apply the horseshoe operator using this as my first term and this as my second term. And so remember, the horseshoe operator is true in what case? It's going to be true in the case where P is true and Q is true. It's going to be false in the case where P is true and Q is false. And it's going to be true in the case where both of them are, the P is, the first term is false. Remember the truth table for it. Maybe just remind you. P, Q, P dot Q. P horseshoe Q. Okay. 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, just by mechanics. Okay, this is going to be true here, false here, and true, true. That's our truth table for that. So using that truth table, I'm going to apply that now to this expression, P dot Q, which I figured out here, horseshoe R. So what I'm doing here is just doing the same thing I'm doing here and finding out what this operator is going to do to those terms. So P dot Q, horseshoe R, would be the same as this here. Both values are true, and this is going to be true. If my first term is false, or if the first term is true and the second term is false, then you can see that my P horseshoe symbol is going to result in false there. And now it's simple because I've got zeros all the way down here. So I know I'm going to have ones all the way down here because it doesn't make a particle of difference what this is. If the antecedent is false, we've seen here, then regardless of whether it's true or false, the implication is still true. Okay, so that's what this expression looks like. Now let's look at P horseshoe, Q horseshoe R. In order to do that, I'll figure out what Q horseshoe R is first. Now, this is about as hard as it gets, these kinds of expressions. We're going to find simpler ways to get around these things. So you're getting baptized with the full force of it right here. Yes, question?
Yeah. great.
Maybe I'll put it back here. You've got 2 minutes, so I'll...
Well, on the table on the right...
Over here?
Yeah.
My definition? Okay.
You had a... yeah, okay, on the third one down.
Yeah.
0, 1.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Over...
now, remember, we're going in the opposite direction here. I'm going P dot Q horseshoe R. So I've got to mentally reverse these commas, as it were. This is my first term, and this is my second term. See?
Oh.
So remember that. And this 0 is going to be my first term all the way through here. If you want to do this to help yourself, to get things in right order, what you could do is just repeat the R column one more time on this side, so you didn't get mixed up as to which term was first. You can do that. So that might help you, just repeat the R column. Because see, you want P dot Q horseshoe R, and usually we put the P, you know, this side of the term first. So if it's any problem to you that I've taken this term first and applied it to this one,
okay,
you could repeat R on this side, and then you have the order right.
I forgot to refer.
Okay. Yeah, it takes, you know, maybe that's when it should be done. That's why these truth table methods become a little unwieldy. You can make some mistakes. There's simpler ways of doing it, but we haven't refined that yet.
Isn't a horseshoe saying false if both statements are false?
No. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Because it's only an implication. It's only an implication. It's just saying, if this, then this. That's all the statement is making. It's not saying that this is true. It's just saying that if this is true, then this is true. But it's not making any statement. If the first part is false, it's not putting any pressure on the second part, and it's going to be a true statement as far as an implication goes. That was the thing that was a little bit hard to get used to, admittedly. So, but if you remember it in terms of this definition, then you'll be all right. Okay, if you can pack up your things, but I'm going to finish this. I'm dying to find out what you
do. Okay.
It does? Have you already done it?
Yep.
Okay. So if it comes out the same, maybe we don't need to do it here, but if it comes out the same, and I suspected it might, and we'll probably find later on, we'll draw an equivalence between those two, and there's probably a law, logical substitution that will apply those same things. So your thinking was okay when you did that. It's just that... when you're translating from the language, it's best not to make any steps in between. Actually, what you did was make a ton of steps that, you know, was okay in this case, but it might not in some other cases. So for the rest of you, you can verify that. We're out of time now, but apparently it does work out.
You want our papers?
Yeah, go ahead and turn your papers in if you will. Just pass them to the front. And mainly just to guarantee that you have done it.
I'll be right back after those papers.
Okay, thank you.
I just sort of have a question about the three realized that. The whole statement can be right.
Yes.
And but it seems to me that in translating, the only thing that, you know, that's really effective in order for it to be true is the one that's false.
Mm-hmm.
So in translating, it seems to me that that's the only thing that really changed.
But the thing is, that may work out in this case, but it may not work out in general. So, you know, you may be right about the specifics of this case. That would happen. But you've got to be careful about the way that you apply the operators, because
right,
in some other case it may not work out that way and you might come up with the wrong
thing. Right. If they were both false, then the operator would apply the
both. Right, exactly. And you still come out with a true statement. You right. Apply the negation to the two false things.
I didn't realize that you wanted it all written out in
okay.
The exact form. So
that's all right. Just turn in what you've got, and if you took notes on the rest and got the rest of it, that'd be fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't necessarily tell you to write it symbolically.
Just trying to figure that out. That's
yeah, all I told you was to figure out which is true or false, so you didn't need to go.
Right.
Okay. Good. Thank you,
Billy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you should be sure to put those parentheses around, even simple type of thing. When you have more than one operator involved in any place, you need to have parentheses so you know which one to find which. Yeah.